میکنیم و در اختیارتون میذاریم و پایگاهی هم به شما میدیم در هر جای افغانستان که شما بخواید در مرزهای ایران.
Report says long before the Dubai assassination, Australia had warned Israel against the use of its national passports by Israeli spy agencies. Another sign for the ailing U.S. economy, new claims for the jobless benefits jumped to a three-month high. It is 7 p.m. in New York and 3:30 a.m. here in the Iranian capital, Tehran. Welcome to this edition of Press TV's World News. Well, the captured leader of the terrorist group Jundullah says the United States offered him broad support, including a military base in Afghanistan, to carry out attacks against Iran. This, 2 days after he was arrested on board a passenger plane in southern Iran.
اینها رابطه کرده بودند که ما می‌خوایم با شما ملاقات بکنیم. که ما گفته بودیم کجا، اینا گفتن در دبی ما میای ملاقات میکنیم، شما با ما همکاری بکنید، ما هرچی مشکلات شما باشه این افراد از زندان آزاد میکنیم، به شما امکانات مالی در اختیارتون میذاریم و امکانات نظامی، اسلحه، مهمات ما برای شما تهیه میکنیم و در اختیارتون میذاریم و پایگاهی هم به شما میدیم در هر جای افغانستان که شما بخواید در مرزهای ایران. این حرفی که اونا گفت، آمریکایی‌ها گفته بودن در ملاقات دبی، و ما الان موضوع ما موضوع ایرانه، الان نه موضوع القاعده هست و نه موضوع طالبان، ولی این که ما بگیم الان ما برنامه نظامی داریم، نه.
Rigi also said his group was planning more attacks against the Islamic Republic. Abdul Malik Rigi and one of his aides were arrested on board a passenger jet on Tuesday. The terrorist leader was en route to Kyrgyzstan from Dubai on Tuesday when his plane was intercepted. He was arrested in the Iranian city of Bandar Abbas. Jundullah has claimed responsibility for the killing of dozens of Iranian civilians and security forces. Iranian officials say they have evidence that the group was sponsored by the United States and Britain. Washington and London both deny the allegation. Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad started his two-day visit to Damascus on Thursday. We have the latest from the Syrian capital.
Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad arrived in Damascus on Thursday and held talks with his Syrian counterpart Bashar al-Assad on the bilateral relations and latest developments in the Arab and international arenas. The visit is one of a string of high-profile visits to Damascus in recent months, from the US, France and now Iran, and shows Syria's strategic importance in the Middle East. During a press conference after the meeting, President Ahmadinejad said a new Middle East, free from Zionists and colonialists, was quickly emerging as regional bonds grow stronger day by day. He described relations between Syria and Iran as brotherly, deep, solid and permanent, adding that Iran will stand behind the Syrian nation until the end.
On relationship between Syria and Iran, everyone must know this relationship is deep, brotherly and comprehensive. It will continue to prosper and nothing can destroy it. We share common wills, goals and adversaries. Our cooperation is growing in different ways, both culturally and politically.
He also called on those interfering in the region's affairs to pack their things and leave. On the eve of Ahmadinejad's visit to Damascus, the Obama administration said it was pressing Syria to move away from Iran. Testifying in the Senate, Hillary Clinton, the U.S. Secretary of State, was blunt about Washington's bid to drive a wedge between Damascus and Tehran. The Syrian president said at the news conference that he was surprised at U.S. calls for Syria to stop its relations with Iran, at the same time as it is calling for stability and peace in the Middle East. The Syrian leader also defended Iran's right to peaceful nuclear technologies.
In our talks, we discussed the Iranian view of its nuclear energy program. And based on what I heard from President Ahmadinejad and what I have heard from Western political figures that have come to Syria over the last few days and weeks, there is no doubt what we are now witnessing is a new colonial project by Western powers that seek to dominate the region. This is proved by the fact that Iran is a member of the UN, but they still want to deny its rights. And this is in spite of the fact that for the last 2 months we have seen Iran taking a very gentle approach to the matter.
The two presidents also took part in the celebrations marking the Prophet Muhammad's birthday. Mr. Ahmadinejad is also due to meet leaders from Hezbollah and Hamas on his visit to Damascus. The visit of the Iranian president to Damascus comes at a critical time. Many have predicted that a renewed relationship with the US would foresee a weakening of Syrian-Iranian relations. However, today both parties took the opportunity to dampen out such speculations, forcefully reaffirming their long-standing ties to one another as allies and to securing peace in the region through the strengthening of mutual ties. Ziad Sawas, Press TV, Damascus.
Now, reports say Australia had warned Israel against faking its passports and secret operations around the world. The Australian says Australia's federal police investigations show that Canberra had warned Tel Aviv not to do so in the 1990s. The passport abuse has also drawn criticism from the European Union.
And we are very angry at the fraudulent use of information that was stolen from valid Irish passports to make forged passports. These were fake forged passports. These people were not Irish citizens. Whoever did this forged the passports. We're angry about that because it violates the integrity of our passport system and also places at risk the security of our citizens.
Martin underlines that none of the six out of 26 suspects named in the slaying of Mahmoud Al-Mabhouh were actually Irish citizens. Al-Mabhouh was assassinated in Dubai last month. Dubai police say they are, quote, 99% certain the assassination was a hit by Israel's Mossad spy agency. Dubai authorities say the suspects used fraudulent British, Irish, French, German and Australian passports. Some of the governments involved have summoned Israel's ambassadors. Well, the Islamic bloc at the United Nations has condemned Israel's recent decision to add two holy shrines in the occupied West Bank to its list of heritage sites. The UN ambassadors of the Organization of the Islamic Conference have called the decision illegal and illegitimate. They say they deem the decision null and void. The envoys have also called for international action to force Tel Aviv to cancel the plan. Israel has decided to add the Cave of the Patriarchs in Al-Khalil, also known as Hebron, and Rachel's Tomb in Bethlehem to the list of around 150 sites it plans to promote. The United Nations has expressed concern over the issue. The Israeli decision has also drawn strong condemnation from Palestinian resistance group Hamas, as well as a number of regional states. In related news, the European Court of Justice has ruled that Israeli goods produced in Palestinian territories do not fall under EU trade privileges. The court has maintained a clear distinction between Israeli and Palestinian territories. The ruling has made it clear that only goods made within Israel's pre-1967 borders can be imported to Europe without customs tariffs. Under international law, the European Union does not recognize Israel's occupation of the West Bank as legal. It views the Palestinian Authority as the only body entitled to export goods produced in the West Bank. The court's ruling comes just days after acting Palestinian Authority Chief Mahmoud Abbas called on Europe to boycott products made in the Israeli settlements inside the occupied West Bank. Well, 100 Taliban militants have been killed and 50 others detained since the launch of an operation against the group's bastion in Marja in Afghanistan's southern Helmand province. That, according to Afghanistan's defense ministry spokesman Zahir Azami. Azami added that the goal of clearing Marja of insurgents and booby trap bombs has yet to be achieved. The operation was launched on February the 13th and involves 15,000 Afghan security forces and NATO-led troops, including 5,000 U.S. Marines. Military officials say so far 13 NATO troops and 3 Afghan soldiers have been killed. The Afghan Human Rights Commission says at least 28 civilians have been killed, including 13 children. The mass assault is the largest military operation in Afghanistan since the 2001 U.S.-led invasion of the country. Well, and yet another troublesome sign for the U.S. economy. New claims for U.S. jobless benefits last week jumped to a three-month high. A Labor Department report says jobless claims surged unexpectedly to just below 500,000 last week. The new figures have come as analysts actually expected jobless claims to fall to around 460,000 from over 470,000 for the week ending February the 13th. A Labor Department official says the unexpected increase is due to an administrative backlog in the states that were hit hard by snowstorms earlier in the month. It said the storms also left people temporarily without work. Well, for more on this U.S. jobless data, we're joined by Professor Michael Hudson, who is a professor at the University of Missouri and also a former Wall Street economist, who's joining us on the line from New York. Sir, thank you very much for joining our broadcast. Now, does the quote-unquote sudden and unexpected increase in the number of Americans filing first-time claims for unemployment insurance mean that the economic recovery will be uneven as the labor market struggles to rebound? And if so, how will this unevenness affect the overall economic recovery?
No, it's not going to be uneven at all. It's going to go down in a very slow crash. Whenever there is a negative economic statistic, like unemployment going up, in the English language in America, they always add the word unexpected. Any bad news is always unexpected. It's considered very bad manners to say that you expect reality to occur. You're expected to live in a dream world thinking the economy is going up. But every Wall Street economist I know, every economist believes that the economy is going down. So there's nothing unexpected, really. Just when you hear the word unexpected from American economic statistics, that just means it's, the economy is going down. Nobody ever says that an upswing is unexpected. Nobody ever says that good news is unexpected. Good news is always expected. Bad news is always unexpected. So you have to realize that's how Americans talk.
Right, Professor Hudson, some economists say this new data is simply not surprising given recent weather conditions in the eastern half of the U.S. Now, does that mean we should expect that once the weather betters, we'll see an improvement in overall jobless claims?
That's the silliest idea I've ever heard. You might as well say that the sun is still shining. And you can compare the weather report every day to the economic phenomena, and you can blame it on the weather, but that is almost descending to medieval magic. Economists talk about cause and effect, and the reason that unemployment is going down, 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 month after month, week after week, is not because it rained one day. That's crazy talk. How can anybody, a serious person, believe it? The reason unemployment's going down is that people are having to spend so much of their money to pay their debts that they don't have enough money to buy goods and services. When you walk down the streets on Broadway or Fifth Avenue or Madison Avenue here in New York, every block now has big stores for rent. They're absent. They're not selling anything. Stores don't, it takes about 6 months to go out of business. They don't go out of business because it rains one day. That is absolute insanity.
Now, Professor, many were wary of the recently passed jobs bill because in the past Congress's attempts to stimulate jobs have been inadequate. What's your assessment of the initial jobs bill, and will a follow-up bill expected soon help?
There was no attempt to increase the jobless at all. What is called a jobless bill was a giveaway to the banks primarily and a giveaway to the employers. There was never an intention to increase employment here, and only a very small portion of the so-called jobless bill has been spent, and that's mainly been spent on employers. So if you look at the statistics for what's been spent, hardly anything has happened, and one only expects a token follow-up by Congress, not anything serious. If they wanted to increase jobs, they'd alleviate the debt burden, which nobody is doing.
So, Professor, some analysts have said that the new consumer confidence numbers in the U.S. indicate that the public isn't falling for the rosy picture the government is painting of the recovery. How significant are such numbers to an overall recovery, and are people right to be pessimistic at this point?
They're certainly right to be pessimistic. They're more realistic than the economists are. If you look at what the confidence numbers really mean and you look at the questions, they think that people going deeper into debt is a sign of confidence. The theory, and it's an idiotic theory, is that if people go into debt, it's because they believe they can repay. That's just another silliness with the statistics. If people go into debt, it's because they can't afford to break even. So the confidence numbers are much worse than are being reported.
Professor Michael Hudson at the University of Missouri, also former Wall Street economist, joining us there on the line from New York. Sir, thank you very much for your insight. Remaining with the U.S. economy, now U.S. stocks have tumbled on weak employment data and fears of debt loans of Greece. The Dow Jones shed more than 50 points after suffering an early plunge. The Standard & Poor's Index also dipped more than 2 points. The market shuddered after the U.S. Labor Department said new claims for jobless benefits jumped to a three-month high. Markets were also under pressure as credit agencies warned of further downgrades to Greece, which could hurt the country's efforts to tackle its debt crisis. Analysts say if the jobs picture fails to improve, that could spell trouble for recovery from the recession. Well, you're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. The captured leader of the terrorist group, Jundullah, says the U.S. offered him a base in Afghanistan for operations against Iran.
امکانات نظامی اسلحه مهمات ما برای شما تهیه میکنیم و در اختیارتون میذاریم و پایگاهی هم به شما میدیم در هر جای افغانستان که شما بخواید در مرزهای ایران.
A report says long before the Dubai assassination, Australia had warned Israel against the use of its national passports by Israeli spy agencies. Another sign for the ailing U.S. economy, new claims for the jobless benefits jumped to a three-month high.